Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to Elanor Retail Property Fund Investor Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Today's call includes the question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Monday, 21st of August, 2017. I'd now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Glenn Willis, CEO, Elanor Investor Group. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, all, and welcome to the inaugural results presentation, annual results presentation for the Elanor Retail Property Fund. I have with me here at our end of the line my colleagues Simon Simmons, CFO, Paul Siviot, COO of the group, and Michael Ballard, the head of real estate and also the fund manager for the Retail Property Fund. I'll commence by just making some comments in regard to the results highlights, and I look forward to handing it over to Michael to talk about the strategy for ERF and the value proposition that we see inherent in the fund. Firstly, we're very pleased with the results for the first 8 months and certainly the second half of ERF. Very pleased at the core earnings. We've achieved a forecast and the second half distribution per security of 5 cents per security again being as forecast. Particularly pleasing is the growth in NTA per security over the short time the fund's been listed, growing close to 14% from $1.25 to $1.42. And that's with a gearing level as at 30 June of below 30%. Remembering our target range is 30 to 40% for the gearing of this fund. Also, we'll talk a bit later on about the cap rates for the assets in the fund, but the average cap rate being 7.2 certainly compares very favourable to market cap rates and peers. ERF's core strategy of investing in neighbourhood and sub-regional shopping centres is one that's founded upon our broader investment approach and discipline of investing in assets that provide strong, sustainable cash flows, but also assets that provide significant capital uplift potential. The assets in this fund and the fund more generally has those attributes. We believe, and we'll talk about it more in this presentation, that this fund has a very strong cash flows. It's underpinned by retail, non-discretionary based retail spending, and it's underpinned by assets that have strong inherent capital lift potential within those assets. Page five really just reflects, I guess, the active asset management approach that we take to all of our funds. And in the short period that this fund has been listed, in the 8 months that it's been listed, there's been a lot of value that's been created, and indeed there's been an acquisition that's been made in the formative months of the fund. So I'll leave for you to reflect upon those highlights at your leisure, and at this juncture I'm pleased to hand it over to Michael Ballard, who can talk about the fund strategy and the investment policy.
Thanks, Glenn. Pleased to provide this update and I guess set the framework. We have delivered, I guess, on the initial strategy that we outlined in the PDS as part of the IPO in November last year, and mainly in relation to each of the planks of our strategy and our investment philosophy in relation to investing in value assets that generate low risk-adjusted cash flows from non-discretionary retailing. And I guess the first plank for this results presentation is we have delivered on those earnings forecasts and are very comfortable with the cash flows that come from our assets because they are sustainable and are low risk. second plank to the strategy was to actively manage the portfolio. We've demonstrated that we've been able to achieve an increase in portfolio occupancy to 99%. We started the fund with an occupancy of 96.7%. We've also demonstrated the ability to identify and secure high quality acquisitions, as demonstrated by the acquisition of Gladstone Square. We will be repositioning all of our assets, and that's clearly demonstrated in later on when we run through a bit of a case study on Auburn Central, and we've made good progress in relation to the repositioning of our other largest asset being Tweed Mall, and all wrapped around, I guess, a very conservative capital structure. As Glenn mentioned, our gearing is below our target range of 29.3, and we've embarked on some asset recycling initiatives which will further seek to be redeployed into additional assets to continue to grow the funds. So, but again, continuing to maintain that conservative capital structure. So the whole strategy then comes together in generating, I guess, fundamentally some low-risk cash flows with some operational and strategic upside and growth for investors, which represents a low-risk retail REIT with a variety of NTA value opportunities. We believe ERF does represent value for investors, given our risk-focused investment philosophy and our active asset management approach. We're very much focused on delivering strong performance from our very strong portfolio of assets. When we compare ourselves to our peers, we can consider ourselves as low risk, but representing pretty strong NTA upside. For a number of reasons, we are trading at a significant discount to our NTA. Most recent trading, as of Friday's close, is $1.33. Our NTA is $1.42. So we represent a 6.3% discount to NTA. Our distribution yield is 7.8%, which is significantly higher than our peers at the sort of mid sixes on average. And also our cap rate. Portfolio cap rate is at 7.2%, even following our most recent revaluations, reduced from 7.5 to 7.2, but still a significant premium to where the market and our peers' valuations we're seeing. So, and again, just reiterating the strategy, investing in assets which represent low-risk cash flows, strong operational and strategic upside, and looking for opportunities to seek accretive growth for investors, which again we've demonstrated throughout, I guess, in the initial stages of the fund's life. So just going to page 9 of the presentation, you can see just reinforcing the position in relation to our trading relative to NTA and distribution yield. On page 10, demonstrating our weighted average cap rate for our portfolio, still a reasonable premium to the market and our peers, and we believe that represents further valuation uplift opportunities even prior to any further operational strategic initiatives that that we'll be putting in place. Slide 11 just really reflects and supports the investment philosophy that we do invest in assets that generate strong risk-adjusted returns, and as demonstrated by some independent research prepared by Dale et al. And MCSI and IPD. Just moving forward to slide 12. This slide just represents, I guess, the fundamental premise of the strategy for the portfolio, and similar to that which was outlined in the PDS. Again, focused very much on non-discretionary spending, with long leases to strong lease covenants, and particularly supermarkets and discount department store chains, which represent 63% of our lettable area and 40% of our base rental income. But more importantly than that, they actually drive the traffic that that support the trade for our specialty retailers as well on a regular basis. In addition to, I guess, the components of the income, the strength and the length of the commitments to provide that income is very, very strong, as you can see by the lease expiry profile on page 13. Most of our cash flow, 61%, is secured on leases beyond 2022. We talk about our operational strategic opportunities within the portfolio, and we've sought on page 14 to demonstrate, I guess, where we see some ongoing opportunity. Obviously, we've realised on some, but there are always ongoing opportunities. In Auburn Central, there's an asset recycling program which we have commenced in the sale of the Podium assets. Sold $6.5 million of that $21 million group of assets, which will continue to be divested throughout this first half, and to be reinvested into another asset. And we continue to focus on the repositioning of the discount department store space at Auburn Central. Tweed Moore, we've made very, very good progress in our repositioning of the leasing of that, and we're looking forward to making some further progress there. In addition, we are continuing to work on the mixed use opportunity that asset represents, but that is a sort of more medium to long term strategy. But the groundwork that we've put in place has given us confidence that is a very realisable opportunity. Manning Mall, we are working on repositioning that asset as well. There are a number of opportunities there that bring forward some positive prospects. Gladstone Square is our most recent acquisition, and that has been recently redeveloped by the vendor, putting in place a new 20-year lease to Woolworths, so that our focus there will be very much on specialty leasing and remixing. It has a very good range of national credit specialty tenants, but does have some vacancy which we'll seek to address during our two-year income guarantee period. The Glenorchy asset is also one that we are looking at as a potential asset for asset recycling into an asset which is more in line and from a geographic and also a tenancy mix point of view, for in line with the portfolio direction that we'd like to head into. And the other opportunity is at Northway Plaza, which is in relation to development of the pad sites there and potentially asset recycling those on completion as well in the medium to longer term. The other strategic opportunities are obviously in relation to acquisitions. We'll seek to secure, as part of the asset recycling program, further accretive, high quality investment shopping centres that fit our investment criteria. Just on page 15, just moving forward, just wanted to run through, I guess, a case study on the history of our ownership of Auburn Central. We acquired this asset, and I guess to demonstrate our operational and strategic vision for each of our assets and how we execute from those. It all starts with how we acquire assets and setting up the strategy to reposition that asset prior to us owning it, in fact. So the first plank is to buy the asset well and ensure that the capital has been allowed for in the redevelopment strategy for that asset. And so we bought the asset in May 2015 for $68 million at an 8.1% cap rate. Three significant initiatives. First one being a significant remixing strategy where we've invested $1 million in replacing an average lineup of specialty tenants with much more focused non-discretionary offer, taking advantage of the amount of traffic that is generated by the centre. That investment generated a 45% return on the investment, and will continue to provide further rental growth. We achieved a 30% sort of rental reversion on the majority of our replacement tenants, and very strong growth on our renewals as well as a function of that. Now, the car park initiative was completed not long after the IPO was also completed, and that's generating very, very good income returns, but more importantly, from a retailing perspective, is actually generating a very, very strong increase in footfall, demonstrated by a strong increase in Woolworths sales for the past 6 months, is up 9%, and getting closer to that that percentage rent hurdle of $51.6 million. So that's a positive outcome. And again, our focus on asset management. We alluded to in the IPO, we were close to securing a lease to a college in a large commercial unit there, which has now been concluded and in the process of setting up to start trading in the not too distant future. And as a function of all that, from the acquisition through to all the strategic initiatives, we've increased the valuation of the asset to $95 million as part of our most recent valuations in June. And the cap rate's firmed from 8.1% to 6.5%. So that's what we've done in a relatively short order in a two-year period, and there's still further opportunities within that asset. From a strategic point of view, as I've mentioned, we are looking to recycle capital from the non-core Podium assets to realise in the order of $21 million. With that program has started. We've sold four of the 14 Podium assets and realising $6.5 million, that will continue through till for this half, and we've identified a potential acquisition for those proceeds, and also obviously generating an accretive return on that. The blended cap rate to date is about 6.1% of those sales, and secondly, we will continue to seek to improve the performance of the DDS tenancy, either through to working with the existing retailer or repositioning that tenancy for a tenancy that can be better positioned to take advantage of the location and the performance the centre generates. Comment we'd like to make in relation to discount department stores, it's pretty well known in the marketplace that these the performance of some of the brands are challenging and continue to remain challenging. We've assessed each of our discount department stores, and we believe that for varying reasons, we believe that there is a net positive opportunity in that space in our portfolio. Firstly, it only represents 15% of our net rental income, and generally those tenancies pay a relatively low rate per square metre, providing firstly an income opportunity, but also alternative use opportunities as well for more productive uses. So as a function of that, we understand that the positioning of DDS is, when they're performing well, is a positive. In the event that no longer continues, then we believe we've got alternative strategies to readdress that issue. And so, looking forward, in terms of our growth prospects for the fund, as we've identified, we've deployed some available debt capacity to acquire Gladstone Square, which was settled on the 31st of July. And again, we think that's a very strong acquisition. We'll talk about that on the next slide, given its merits and the cap rate that we acquired it on. And we'll be looking to recycle proceeds of non-core assets into more accretive assets, which better reflect, I guess, the investment philosophy that the fund has. Just summarising the acquisition of Gladstone Square, again, settled on the 31st of July. Redevelopment of this asset was completed in late 2016, mainly as a result of expansion and a new lease to the Woolworths supermarket. So we bought an asset at a 7.2% yield with a brand new 20-year lease to Woolworths, so we think that represents good value for our fund, with a 2-year income guarantee allowing us time to position the asset further, similar to I guess the initiatives that we put in place for similar style assets. Just turning to the fund overview. Quickly, it's probably reasonably familiar in terms of the portfolio makeup of the fund. But in short, just wanted to highlight the growth in the portfolio value as a function of two things: the acquisition of Gladstone Square, but also the valuation growth of in the order of $18 million. So. And the portfolio summary. Again, highlighting the majority of our assets continue to be in New South Wales, with the majority of our income coming from majors, and the majority of our floor space also occupied by majors, in line with our investment and fund strategy. So on page 21, the last slide for me before I hand over to Paul is the active management of our policies has been demonstrated by our ability to acquire assets well and also reposition those assets, which has shown positive revaluation improvements for both Auburn Central Flat Plaza, reflecting a 2% increase, 7.2% increase in portfolio valuation and resulting in almost a 14% increase in NTA for the fund. And only reducing the weighted average cap rate by to 7.2%. So overall, I guess being the inaugural presentation, I think very happy that we've been able to, I guess, deliver on the performance and the strategy that was outlined in the IPO. At this juncture, I'll hand over to Paul.
Thank you, Michael. Page 24 and page 25 set out in summary our profit and loss and balance sheet for the profit and loss for the period since IPO. So this adjusted profit and loss reflects the performance of the fund for the period for which it has been listed since the 9th of November 2016. The statutory results, which you may refer to later, will include the performance of three of the assets that were owned prior to the listing date. Core earnings achieved was $8.7 million for the period post-IPO, and our distributions for that period were $6.4 million, which includes 5 cents per security for the second half of the year to 30 June 2017. The balance sheet shows net tangible assets of $1.42 per security as at 30th of June 2017, a significant increase, almost 14%, on the $1.25 net tangible asset value per security at listing only 8 months ago. Michael's also outlined the value enhancing initiatives that are currently being pursued at each of our portfolio assets. I'd also highlight our gearing ratio at 30th of June 2017, which is at 29.3%, below our target range of between 30 to 40%. Just to comment briefly on our debt and capital management, Michael referred to the acquisition of Gladstone Square, a $31.5 million transaction that we settled on the 31st of July 2017. That acquisition was fully funded by debt, and in fact, that is a transaction that has improved our capital structure. Post that acquisition, our gearing's increased to 36.6%, still well within the range of our indicative range of 30 to 40%. But also, and importantly, our debt is very significantly hedged at almost 91%. And as a result of the Gladstone Square acquisition and its funding entirely by debt, our average swap hedge to maturity has improved from 3.1 years to 3.7. And similarly, our average term to maturity has increased to 2.9 years from 2.2 years. As Michael mentioned, we see the opportunity to fund further acquisitions within the fund without necessarily having to raise equity capital, and that will be as a result of the use of debt within our target range of gearing, augmented by the equity released from the sale of all the asset recycling and assets that Michael referred to within Auburn Central and also possibly Gladstone.
Cool.
Glenorchy, thank you. I'll pass back to Glenn to summarise the outlook for the fund.
Thanks, Paul. Firstly, I want to congratulate Michael and his team for the excellent job they've done in the first 8 months of this fund's life. It's a direct reflection of the investment approach that we have within Elanor, one that's characterised by a highly active asset management approach. For example, and Michael didn't, it's probably too humble to mention it, but the value enhancement achieved specifically on, for example, Auburn Central required some 35 lease repositionings over 18 months, and that's that level of activity that delivers a return, and that level of urgency applied to getting results that delivers a return. So well done, Michael and the team. We're very excited about the prospects for ERF. We believe it's very well positioned to improve shareholder value with its existing portfolio, and we're very positive about the ability of the fund to acquire additional accretive acquisitions. And with regard to the existing portfolio, clearly there's all the operational improvements and opportunities that can be worked, so to speak, but the other key shareholder value, security holder value upside comes from the strategic opportunities in the majority of the assets within that fund. So ERF, as we state here, confirms core earnings as disclosed in the PDS of the period to 31 December 2017, and we're pleased that the annual distribution yield is forecast increased by 3% or 20 basis points to 7.8% following the acquisition of Gladstone Square that was settled on 31 July 2017. So thank you for your support of the fund. Thank you for your interest in the fund. We're very positive about this fund started life as the best performing retail REIT, and we look forward to maintaining that performance going forward. It's a very modest sized fund at present. We certainly have strong ambitions for the fund. Again, as is the case for all Elanor funds, we will not grow for growth's sake. We will only grow on the basis of buying great assets, as we call them, assets that present very, very strong security holder value. So against that background, if there are any questions, we'd be happy to field them. Otherwise, we would wish you all good morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question now, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question comes from the line of Edward Day from Melis Australia. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Well done on the results. Michael, I'm wondering if you can talk more about some of the Auburn lot sales and some of the cap rates you're achieving on those ones you've sold so far.
The program is that we'll do it in a number of tranches. As I said, there's 14 lots to be sold. First tranche went to auction on the 8th of August. We've realised proceeds of $6.5 million from that tranche, and a weighted average cap rate of 6.1%.
Great, okay. And then just on your guidance, your core earnings guidance, obviously the acquisition of Gladstone Square was accretive. Does the guidance assume that the rest of the Podium lots are sold this half and then potentially Glen Orchid?
No.
So, I'm sorry, Michael, perhaps just to clarify, Ed, what we've sought to do there is to provide an estimate of what the accretive nature of the Gladstone Square acquisition is to the fund. So the 7.6% really just represents the continuation of the fund as it sits and exists at 30th of June 17, with the acquisition of Gladstone shown as the accretive component. So it's more of a pro forma number rather than guidance for the following year, because it doesn't reflect the range of other initiatives that we have in place, including the recycling of capital and other potential acquisitions.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Another reminder, ladies and gentlemen, is star 1 for questions. There are no other questions. Presenters, please continue.
Thank you. Again, thank you, everyone, for your interest in Elanor Retail Property Fund. We're very pleased with the first 8 months of performance for that fund. We're very positive about the prospects for the fund, as I mentioned. And congratulations to Michael Bella and his team for the results achieved. Again, those results are achieved on the back of a significant amount of effort and certainly a highly active investment management and asset management approach, one that we will maintain to deliver security holder value going forward. Thank you again, and we wish you all good afternoon, good morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.